Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Frank Alvarez as my special expert guest. Frank Alvarez, CSNA, graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison with a Bachelor of Science in Bacteriology. Shortly after his graduation, he joined the Wisconsin Air National Guard, where he continues to fly KC-135s for the U.S. Air Force. Frank raced as a professional duathlete, competing in 5 world championships. He is a CSNA graduate, a Colgan powerlifting coach, a Czech holistic life coach, and is currently enrolled in a Master's of Holistic Nutrition course with Hawthorne University, which will lead into a PhD program. Frank's passion in health and wellness and his military career fostered his Wellness for Me integrative program that partners with the individual to design a path to their optimum health vision. Frank was also directly responsible for the implementation of the USAF fitness program for 1,000 members. Good morning, Frank, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you on the line. And so what we'll do is just maybe ask you right off something about your personal life. Maybe our students and members would like to know where you grew up and something about your history, where you're from, and how you got into the health and fitness area with such a strong interest.
I was actually born in Chicago in a suburb. And then about sixth grade, I moved up to Wisconsin with my mom and my sister on a small little horse farm. Very athletic family, played hockey. Unfortunately, I'm a Blackhawks fan, Corey. I don't know how that affects you. But later in my athletic career, baseball, and then later into running and biking. My mom was into the health and the fitness. She was big into taking supplements and things, so that's what I did. I just did it because mom did it. And then as I went through school and even high school, I knew that I was more scientifically based. It's what I was interested in. Ended up at Madison getting my degree in bacteriology. So with all that, I just knew it was the right thing to do. I didn't really know why. I just figured it was the right things to do, so I wanted to learn more about it. And now, 30 years later, we know why, because in the 80s, all this stuff was happening. But my junior year in high school, I found out I could run, and I could run very well, and that led to my pro athletics and the duathlon and adventure racing and stuff. And that led into, you know, tons of miles on the bike and tons of hours in the gym and running. And I needed to do more to excel. And fortunately, I ran across Michael Colgan's book, Optimum Sports Nutrition, in around 94, I think shortly after it was published. I just lucked out and found it. And then I met you at his power camp in 2005 and did the CSNA. And it just took off from there. It was, you know, a slow little ball rolling down the hill. And now it's just this huge, I guess, juggernaut that I'm stuck in. And I love it, though.
And you're doing a great job, man. You're really moving forward. And it's great to see people like yourself who understand and respect education and understand also that it's just a continuous set of achievements. Like, you know, you do one thing and you move into the next, and that's exactly what I do. And I think that's what all the great minds are continuously doing, is upgrading themselves with new information. Because as you know, science is not absolutely certain and there's more to learn. What about your career in the military? How did you end up in the military? Because it usually starts with your decision to do that at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I always had an interest in flying, and I took ground school just to find out what it was about with a buddy when I was in high school. When I graduated from college, and science was my true interest, I wanted to fly. I figured, get my college degree, get that good job, and then I'll go fly. And I found out that how expensive it was to fly, and to do that, that just wasn't going to happen. So I got my first job at the Blood Center here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and wasn't making a whole lot, wife and a kid. And I applied to the Wisconsin Air National Guard. I was doing a little bit of flying, got to about soloing, and I just applied to the Guard, and I really didn't know what I was getting into. I thought it was, you know, Bug Smasher, Civil Air Patrol. It wasn't anything, but it was Air Force. It was a part-time deal. So I ended up getting into it. They sent me to flight school, and it was nice because it was part-time, so I could do the other stuff I had interest in, especially the athletics and my science background. And over the years, that's now turned into wellness for me, basically. And the best part of the flying was, it's a great job. It's a great career. It's something I want to do. I loved serving. I still love serving. I'm still in. And I got my best friends there. I mean, I've done a lot of crazy things, seen a lot of great places, and it's been with all my buddies.
Well, tell us what you actually do when you're flying. Like, talk about the actual type of vessel you fly and what you actually do when you're engaged in your work as a pilot.
I'm a KC-135 instructor pilot, so it's a refueler. We refuel fighters and bombers in midair, and it's like 727, 737, and we're all over the world. Yeah, we've got a presence everywhere. We've got 10, 12 airplanes here, and there's always two or three of them somewhere around the world all the time, and that's my primary responsibility, is to fly that airplane in defense of our country. You know, most of the time it's training, and that's where, like, your passion with educating and training people, I have that same passion with the nutrition and with the flying. That's what I do. So on a daily basis, I work in an office, but I fly, you know, once or twice a week at least with students, teaching them, you know, our trade.
That's got to be exciting. I always wondered why you need to refuel a plane in the air. Why don't they just land and refuel? What's the purpose of that?
Well, it just gives us longer legs, is what we call it. So it gives us a greater distance that we can make the airplane, so they're more capable.
Is it really dangerous to do that? I guess you really have to be good at making the connection in flight.
You know, it probably really is, but to us, it's not. It seems pretty simple to us because it works. But it works because there's a lot of really smart people and a lot of people that took risks to figure it out for us, and now that we've got a good process, we've got good standards, and we've got good evaluations to validate those standards as to why and how we do stuff. And it's, so to me, it's been pretty simple, and I don't mean to make that simplistic, but it doesn't seem dangerous to me because it works, and we know we're trained very well.
What about the background in bacteriology, Frank? How has that helped you with any insight or knowledge regarding your own personal health or the health of others? Did that give you a tablet of awareness? When you think about bacteria and parasites and microorganisms, and how at one time we knew nothing about it, and how even today people know about germs, but they really don't know the extent of bacteria and viral infection and things like that. So did that have an impact on you at all?
Yeah, it was bigger than I thought initially. It was just kind of the biological science that I fell into. You know, my sophomore, junior year, I took a 100-level course in it, and I liked it, and it was interesting. But now, knowing what I know and the education and where I want to go with it and with the athletics and all that, I've really learned how important our digestive system is, and the bugs. You know, we call them bugs. So the bugs that are in us, and I guess we're the vehicle for those bugs, really. It's almost like who's running who, the bugs, or are we running the bugs? But it's incredibly important, and in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, I've realized how much that bacteriology is helping me now, because I have a good base in it. I really get it, and I got a deeper understanding of it, too, which is really nice. But to answer the question point blank, it's incredibly important, and it's helped me a lot.
No doubt. Well, they say that the science of health is hygiene, and fear is what I think most people are motivated by when it comes to their perception of the bug, as you say. But really, there's a symbiotic relationship between bacteria and parasites and microorganisms. And it's almost like a microscopic world. Then you take it up to the macroscopic, and you look at the cosmos. And there's a lot of relationship between how it all works. But regarding your own personal health, how do you personally stay well when you're flying these planes and working in the military and doing your stuff? And how is it that you can do what you do when other people may be in the same walk of life or saying, I'm too busy, man? Or how do you do it? I can't figure this out. So what's your response to that?
It's not easy. People think it's easy, but they also think that I go out into my front yard and I grab nuts and berries and grass and bark off the tree, and that's what I eat. That's not what I do. I have to pre-think things. I think you may have actually taught me this, is that when you have a Super Bowl party or New Year's Eve party you're going to go to, that you need to pre-eat before you go. So I use the same mentality. Your willpower is incredibly stronger if you do that, because if you go there hungry, you're going to eat the chips and the dip, and you have your cake and eat it too, as you say. You can't. You're going to do both. So when I go on a trip, I really stock up on what I'm going to take, and I take a cooler with me. I have a cooler that I can, that's a refrigerator also. So I take a lot of base stuff with me. So at least, worst case, at least I can eat two of my three meals the way that I need to eat them. So I tell them that, and I use a transparency model. It's, how do I teach my Uncle Jeff, who's 5 or 10 years older than me, that likes his steak and potatoes and his sour cream and butter and all that, how do I get him to eat like I do, or to eat correctly or more healthily. And that is to make it transparent to him, because I can't have him make these drastic changes because he won't stick with it. So if he, what I teach is that the only thing that you got to do is you got to go buy from the right places. You got to buy from your local farmer that doesn't use antibiotics, does everything organically. You can get raw milk and raw butters, things like that. All those things are good for you, along with the education piece, because that's how most North Americans are, that we're afraid of the fat. But as we know, the fats are good for you. You just got to get them from the right places. So transparency is the model I try to use and preset things before I go.
Right on. Now, what about the Wellness for Me program that you created? You know, I've been to the website and had a look around. And talk about your philosophy and your mission statement, Frank.
Well, our mission at Wellness for Me is not only to improve a person's health in accordance with what's important to them, but also to weave ideal health practices into everyday living. The personal plan is supported by, you know, our staff there, which is health practitioners, health coaches, nutritionists, personal trainers, mental health counselors, and faith-based spiritual counselors, and of course, the core network family group, which is extremely important. And we provide them with a host of skills and resources that will ensure success, making sustainable changes in their lives over long-term times. You know, we're veteran-owned with me, and we work with the Veterans Administration a lot. We don't strictly work with vets, but it's an area of expertise that we have. We know the lifestyle. We know the stressors. We know what the deployments are. We have the family members that deal with the other side of it. So it's just an area that we want to give back to.
Right on. And do you see people making the changes that are necessary? Like, what is the health consciousness like in the military as a general observation from your point of view?
It's not real good. A lot of the command, I know when I talk command, I'm talking like at the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the general levels and stuff. There's a lot of them that are into it, and they have their own philosophy, and they do pretty well. I don't know if they just don't have the foresight, or if they don't really have the power to change things quick enough while they're there. It's almost kind of like a politician. You know, by the time they get in, they start making changes, they're replaced, and they have to move on, and then their policies get pushed to the wayside, and the new guy or the new person starts their stuff. But it's not real good. It's under budgetary constraints or a lot of things, so the foods that we get are not the best by any means. You can attribute it, compare it a lot probably to like a university. There's not a lot of control they have over the foods that they get. There is good stuff, but it's still far from where they need to be. And especially when you get into theater, if you're at a conflict and you're deployed somewhere and you're setting up tents and food and things, it's really hard to get quality food. And then they also don't get the stuff that they think they're getting, stuff that's quality and it's not quality.
So how do you get around that yourself when you're on the base? You, like you said, you prepare in advance. You bring your own food. You prepare food in advance that you bring along with you. How do you stay on the good diet?
I never eat at our dining facility, and I always bring all my own food. I'm eating constantly, but I always bring all my own food. And again, that allows me, gives me that, you know, stoic willpower that everybody thinks that I have. Because I don't stray very often, if at all, because I have my stuff there. I have, and they're good foods. I like the foods that I eat, and they're good for me, and I know exactly where they're coming from and how they're prepared. But that's about all, you know, you really can do. There are some places you can go. There are some good restaurants that are popping up kind of all over the place that are doing local and organic and antibiotic-free things. So it is getting better, but it's still really tough. You got to bring your stuff with. Got to keep it on you.
What about the training facility on the base? Do they have the machines, the free weights, and everything that you pretty much need to get in good shape?
Yeah, it's actually kind of ironic you're asking, because we're in the process of building a gym, and I'm the guy in charge of it. That's something that we have usually really good funding for, because it's a requirement. People have to be physically fit. So, yeah, we have, I wouldn't say state-of-the-art. I'd say active duty has state-of-the-art. They have phenomenal workout facilities, and they might have two or three on an active duty base, so on a big base. But here we're different, we're under constraints, but we still have monies allocated for that, and we do have a really nice fitness facility, and there's no reason that anybody, that they don't have the facilities to use that, because it's there.
Right on. So it sounds like they focus on the training, the exercise, which the military is known for. You know, I mean, when during wartime, they conscript young people, shave all their heads, and then basically run them through a training program to the extreme. You've got what the section of the military that's kind of known for being fantastically developed in great shape and fighting skills.
Yeah, the Marines.
The Marines, that's right, yeah.
The Marines, yes.
And a lot of the data, on the health effects of training come from military research. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that is true. And with me just being in the Air Force, you know, we're the more educated branch of the military. I don't think we get this aspect right at all. The Marines are really good on the fitness. The Army's really good on the fitness. The Navy is pretty good, but all three of those are also really, really good at taking care of their people. And the Air Force, we lack in there, and this is just my personal opinions on that, but we lack on that care for the military member and their families. But it's there, and it is funny that it's not, sometimes it doesn't stay there and get implemented, and that's a hard thing to try and keep from happening.
And it sounds like they're really missing the boat with the nutrition science. And going back into your background and interest in science and connecting with Colgan, like myself, because he's a scientist and we like the science and we read the data and it's scientific and it makes sense and it's logical. And you and I, we eat the way we do. We train the way we do. We take our supplements because there's a science to it. But what happens, like you talked about convolution and politics and all the rest of it, but it isn't it strange how these gigantic organizations are really missing, you know, like when you think about the planes themselves and the aeronautical science, what it takes to lift a machine that's like 20 or 50 tons into the air and knowing how to control that. And yet when it comes to feeding the bodies of the people doing that, they seem to somehow exclude the same science that you and I both recognize and understand.
That could be a whole another, you know, day discussion on that.
So why is it that when it comes to all of the science that goes into the Air Force, just even aeronautical science, and the training is based on a science, you know, cause and effect and reps and sets, and they measure this, but when it comes to food that they're actually feeding to soldiers who need to go out and withstand the stress, it seems as if it's a minimalist as opposed to a sort of a maximalist paradigm. They give the soldiers the minimum amount of the nutrition they require, which then makes them really susceptible to a lot of damage, I would imagine, when they're in a very stressful situation. Or like yourself, when you're flying a plane, lots of radiation. You guys need more support, not a minimal support.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you on that more. On the flying and the technological end, we've got it perfect. On the nutrition end, we don't. And I think that's a part of government policy and lobbying and who's funding things. And there's that misnomer out there as to what is healthy. You know, what is healthy? What are you supposed to eat? What are you supposed to do? What you're not supposed to do? And, you know, you go back to Ansel Keys and the fat and all those things that happened years ago. And now they're, you know, the people that did that, himself included, are fessing up that they were wrong and they fudged things. I don't think it's deceitful, but I think it's just the information is there, but it's just not to that tipping point where the government and the military are saying, okay, yeah, we need to do that for our military members because that's what works. It's just not to that point yet in what they think works. Isn't what actually works. So we're still feeding them the garbage and the things that aren't good for them. And again, they also, I think that, you know, food, they don't realize how deep it goes and how important it is for everything. It's not just the fact that, okay, you need calories or you need food in you and you'll grow and you'll be bigger and you'll be stronger. It's how well your brain functions. It's how well you handle stress. It's how you handle relationships. It's how you're going to fly that airplane. It's all that. And I just don't think they have that connection yet as to how deep the nutrition aspect goes with it. But they do with the physical stuff, with airplanes and how lift and drag and things like that work.
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting phenomenon. And I'm thinking also of the impact of education. Now, the knowledge that you have obviously is tied in. You talked about your mother being an influence, but it demonstrates that although you're, you know, working around the same guys that are maybe not eating the best, you are different. So you can still preserve your independence. You don't have to do what they do, showing that you don't have to conform to exactly. the lower standards. You can raise the bar and do it yourself. And I think that's what the message of wellness is all about. You've got to take charge, be responsible, be accountable. And just because everyone else is doing something doesn't mean that's necessarily the right thing.
Exactly. Couldn't agree with you more.
Right on. Well, what's your website address, Frank?
It is Wellness For Me. So it's wellness and then FOR.ME. That's an Apple domain, and it puts me at the center. So it puts you, the self, the person at the center of the program.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so everyone out there, remember that's www.wellnessfor.me, I guess. Wellnessfor.me.
Yes.
That's it. Good. Okay. And just before we finish and wrap up, what are some of your favorite dietary supplements, Frank?
Oh, geez. I could list every single one of them. Well, always a good malte is a good start. It's a good base for anybody, regardless if you're eating whole foods or you're not eating whole foods. My daily life stuff that I take is glutamine, B5 or pantothenic acid, EPAs, DHAs, the fish oils, CoQ10, vitamin E, vitamin C, and glucosamine. I have some joint issues, but just with my athletics, that's always one of the bigger things I need to be on most of the time. I mean, my professional racing career, I took lots of everything all the time, as you can attest to. If you beat your body up that hard, you need all that, even if you're on the organic whole food diet. But I wax and wane with things. Certain things come and go at certain times, and sometimes I just get off to kind of, you know, just to see how I'm doing and then come back on to them. But those are some of my favorites. I think those are just a good base to have all the time.
Yeah, that sounds great. You certainly covered a multitude, and all of those are classic products. And like yourself, I can go on and on. Someone asked me, what do you take? Well, sit down, get out a pen and a pad. You know, let's write it down. Let's go through it. But you're right. And of course, the shakes, that those are some of my favorites, the shake and take. Are you doing the protein shakes on a regular basis as well?
Yep, doing the protein shakes, and I just found a really good protein out in Australia that is 100% grass-fed, antibiotic-free cows is where it comes from. It's got the natural, it's got nothing else in it, and then there's stevia in the flavored ones and organic either cocoa or vanilla beans with it. So, yeah, again, I'm a big proponent of the protein shakes before and after and the creatine, the glutamine, the fish oil in there with some little bit of carbohydrates in there. As you taught me, that's the stuff that you need to be doing, and it's good, clean source.
Right on. Well, you know, you've been around the block, Frank. I know that you're a father also and been living a bit of life way beyond the mainstream. So as we wrap up, because our time is gone, what can you tell us about what you've experienced so far at this time in your life? What's it all about? What should be important to a man today, and what should we be striving to achieve or accomplish?
You need to be true to yourself. I think you need to know who you are, what you want, and those things are fairly simple. And I'm finding out as I get older that it really is simple. It's not that complicated. And you'll find that the things that you're inundated with, from marketing to TV to what you're supposed to do or what you think you're supposed to do in life, are not the things that make you happy and are going to get you what you want. You may not be able to write down exactly what you want, but if you just keep it simple, and my daughter brought that on to me. I went through an interview once for a flying position, and one of the instructors I respected a lot asked me, what's the best accomplishment in your life? And I'm 26, 27 at the time, and I go, well, of course, my pilot wings. And he goes, well, what do you think about your daughter? And I'm like, you moron. So those are the things. My daughter's the most important thing. You know, the people around me, my family, my significant other in my life, my mom, my sister, you know, you guys, my friends, those are the things. And if I just keep that close and you guys keep me grounded, which you do, it's really simple, and I'm happy. I'm happy that way. And I think that's what everybody just needs to, it's not hard. Just keep the people that are important to you close to you, and it'll work out.
Frank Alvarez has been my special expert guest on this edition of SNU. Frank is a professional athlete, a coach, a graduate of several holistic sports nutrition training programs. He's been involved in the development and implementation of exercise programs on the military base out where he is in Wisconsin. And thank you, Frank, very much for the work that you're doing and for your contribution, for the role model that you are, for the continuing education that you're providing to the people around you. And we just want to encourage you to continue on in that vein and stay as well as possible.
Well, thank you, Corey, for having me. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be a part of your program. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and insight over the years. And most of all, thank you and Tracy for your friendship. It means a lot.
It means a lot to us too, Frank. Thanks very much.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.